This is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. The kidnapped Vatican girl for whom the Pope has publicly prayed may have been heard from after several days. The story from Rome and Richard Roth.
The latest message came to a Rome newspaper, a caller saying that a note from the missing girl could be found in the chapel at Leonardo da Vinci Airport. There, a photocopied school document was found. On it were written the words, "Dear Mama and Papa, don't worry about me, I am fine." Police said the words appeared to have been written by the 15-year-old girl, Emanuela Orlandi, whose disappearance last month has developed into a bizarre case, apparently a kidnapping, with connections to the Vatican. Last week, an anonymous telephone caller said the girl was being held by people who insisted that Mehmet Ali Agca be freed. The Turkish gunman, sentenced to life in prison for shooting the Pope 2 years ago, was brought to Rome police headquarters, where he dramatically shouted his denial of any connection to the apparent abduction. The Orlandi girl is a resident of Vatican City, where her father is employed. In telephone contacts with the alleged kidnapper, the Orlandi family has begun asking for more certain proof the girl is still alive. And just yesterday, Pope John Paul repeated his public prayer that she be released, adding, without explanation, that he is doing all humanly possible to obtain her return. Richard Roth, CBS News, Rome.
The special envoy to Central America returned to Washington late last night. His scheduled talks with the rebels of El Salvador gone awry at the last minute. Robert Schachtney reports from the planned meeting place, San Jose, Costa Rica.
It is still not clear just why Special Ambassador Richard Stone's first effort to open talks with the Salvadoran rebels ended in failure. All the participants were available for a meeting in Costa Rica. Stone and two aides on one side and on the other, four of the principal political spokesmen for the guerrilla movement. But according to a communique the leftists issued yesterday, procedural problems prevented the meeting from taking place over the weekend. None of the rebel spokesmen would spell out just what these problems were. There have been published reports in Costa Rican newspapers of deep disagreements within the guerrilla leadership about meeting with Stone in the first place. The rebel communique held the door open for attempting another meeting. The communique said that Costa Rica's president would be asked to continue as an intermediary and that the guerrilla movement still wished to meet with Stone. Robert Schachtney, CBS News, San Jose, Costa Rica.
10 United States senators and 29 Mexican legislators have wound up meetings in Puebla, Mexico, endorsing the aims of the Contadora group that wants to avoid militarizing Central America. The Contadora group consists of Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, and Panama. For Congress, the 4th of July holiday comes to an end today. The Senate again takes up the issue of arms, money for the MX and the B-1 bomber. The House this week considers legislation to provide health insurance for the unemployed, and a House panel opens hearings on merit pay for teachers. On the President's appointment book today, the Chancellor of West Germany's Foreign Minister, John Ferrugia, has the story.
West German Foreign Minister Hans-Dietrich Genscher is expected to give President Reagan an analysis of Chancellor Helmut Kohl's recent visit to the Soviet Union. Kohl's meetings with Soviet leader Yuri Andropov centered on the deployment of U.S. nuclear missiles in Europe later this year. The Germans say the Russians have proposed an extension of the arms control talks in Geneva to increase the chances of an agreement before the U.S. deployment. Both German and American analysts see this move as hinting flexibility in the Russian position. President Reagan previously indicated his willingness to extend the talks. Genscher is expected to tell Mr. Reagan that it is the German view the Soviets have not decided what move to make if the U.S. missiles are deployed. But publicly, the Soviets made it clear to Chancellor Kohl that the Germans will put themselves in a more vulnerable position if they accept the new powerful Pershing II missiles. At the same time, Andropov signaled his continued desire to improve East-West relations, something Genscher will likely emphasize to the president today. John Ferrugia, CBS News, The White House.
What may have been an off-the-record interview has become a front-page issue in France. David Andelman reports from Paris.
For a nation suffering from the highest unemployment, national debt, and inflation in a generation, it came as a bitter shock, the admission by President Mitterrand that he had seriously underestimated the gravity of the economic crisis and, incidentally, seriously overestimated the goodwill of the Americans and President Reagan in helping out. Mitron's statements were made in what he may have thought was an off-the-record chat with a reporter following a breakfast time radio interview last week. The candid appraisal appeared in a right-wing Christian magazine, but has touched off a nationwide furor. Astonishing confession, headlined another weekly Journal du Dimanche. Stupefying, wrote one journalist. All a presidential spokesman would admit, in apparent embarrassment, this was not a presidential interview. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
An army helicopter with six men aboard has crashed on an island in Lake Michigan. Rescue parties report from the scene no sign of survivors. The copter was on an overwater night navigation training mission. When is a rat a mole? Or do we split hairs here? Latest on Washington's rodentia watching and Rita Braber.
The use of the term mole by Reagan volunteer Dan Jones to describe the person who passed along Carter White House documents was casual and not meant to be precise. That's according to a source familiar with the Jones story. And the source says that Jones never knew the name of the man who walked into Reagan campaign headquarters one night, handed Jones an envelope, and disappeared. Jones opened the envelope, found a set of documents he believed authentic, and sent them on to top Reagan campaign officials William Casey, Edwin Meese, and Robert Gray, so that they would not be ignored. The only comment Jones himself would make on the so-called mole was to say, "In the end, when my low-level contact is known, I'm afraid that the press will be very disappointed by the lack of intrigue and the total absence of any wrongdoing on my part." Rita Braver, CBS News, Washington.
Five Democratic presidential hopefuls have made their pitches now to the National Women's Political Caucus in San Antonio. Carlos Aguilar covered the convention.
The women met. They planned strategy on how to get feminists elected, and they lashed out at Ronald Reagan. They say the president has not been sensitive to women's issues. They publicly stated they are opposed to Mr. Reagan running for re-election. The top five contenders for the Democratic presidential nomination who spoke to the Women's Political Caucus took sides with the women, promised to implement women's demands if elected to the White House, and joined the chorus of anti-Reagan sentiment. Presidential hopeful Senator Alan Cranston.
It's great to be with the real political power brokers of America. For it's women who will send Ronald Reagan back to the ranch in 1984.
The women wouldn't say who they favored to oppose Ronald Reagan should the president choose to run. Carlos Aguilar, CBS News, San Antonio.
Gold was selling for 416 and a quarter an ounce in London this morning, ahead slightly from Friday's close. The dollar was higher.
CBS News, I'm Douglas Edwards, sitting in for Richard C. Hotelet. It may be as late as Friday before firefighters can bring under control a brush fire that scorched more than 4,000 acres of national forest northwest of Los Angeles. Hundreds of firefighters are having to cope with dry weather, 100-degree temperatures, and wind. And the terrain is forcing them to discard the newest tools of the firefighting trade.
We're looking at a fire that is in extremely steep, rugged terrain. It's very heavy vegetation, old vegetation. We are having to do most of the work by hand now. We're not able to get many bulldozers into the area, so it does mean clearing brush with hand crews. It's going to be very hot out there, some wind today. It's going to be a hard day's work today.
Joanna Gutsman, Public Information Officer at Los Padres National Forest. Only trees and other vegetation have burned so far. No serious injuries have been reported. No buildings have burned. In Utah, it's much too much water that's still wreaking havoc. Waterlogged neighbors of creeks and rivers have simply rearranged sandbags from their most recent floods to handle this latest challenge. Heavy downpours over the weekend caused creeks to overflow again and washed out several bridges. Waves swept across the Great Salt Lake, propelled by 65-mile-an-hour winds, and engulfed a marina and part of a lakefront state park. Now this message.
I'm Doug Poling, CBS News, wrapping up the business day for you on Today in Business weeknights. Latest market reports, financial news important to you in the current economy. And each weekday, Frank Sinopani brings you Business Update, 4 live reports throughout the day, updating financial activity and trends to the minute. Business Update, 4 times daily, Monday through Friday, and Today in Business weeknights on most of these CBS radio network stations. There's something special.
How would you like an important job right here in town? What if I told you right now you're qualified? No, you're not too old, not for us, and you won't be turned away because you're young and inexperienced. We need all the help we can get. We're the American Red Cross. We depend on volunteers like you to help us help, and we need more. We'll help you learn new skills. We'll help you learn to be a leader. Become a Red Cross volunteer. Call Red Cross. We'll help. Will you?
115 passengers and crew are believed dead in the crash of an Ecuadorian airliner this morning. Radio reporters near the scene say a Boeing airliner belonging to the state-owned airline crashed into a mountain while trying to land at an airfield in Cuenca in southern Ecuador. There are reports of an explosion, but it remains unclear if it happened before or after the plane hit the mountain. 6 men are believed dead in the crash late last night of a U.S. Army helicopter on a small island in Lake Michigan. A rescue crew reached the scene of the crash this morning and reported finding no survivors. The helicopter was on a routine training mission. In 2 hours, West German Foreign Minister Hans-Dietrich Genscher briefs President Reagan on Chancellor Helmut Kohl's recent talks with Soviet President Andropov. Genscher is expected to urge the president to push for a summit with his Soviet counterpart. According to Kohl, the Russians seem willing to be flexible at the arms reduction talks in Geneva. All they need, Kohl has said, is a sign that the Americans are similarly inclined, and a summit could be that sign. On Capitol Hill, President Reagan's defense program comes under scrutiny from senators this week, and the MX missile will figure predominantly in the debate. The president is said to view the MX as an important bargaining chip in arms talks with the Soviet Union. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones average up 3.71 on a volume of 26.75 million shares. Now this.
Exercise, diet, fitness, medical developments, all on our minds these days. I'm Dr. Peter Salgo, CBS News. Monday through Friday, join me for Health Talk, all about your health. Suggestions for keeping fit, new developments in medicine, diet and exercise, what you want to know about health care and tips you can use. So listen in for Health Talk, Monday through Friday on most of these CBS radio network stations. It's something special.
I see America working harder every day to educate her people to live a better way.
The United Negro College Fund helps blacks fulfill their potential in walks of life where they couldn't walk before.
We want to give our best, please understand. We're not asking for a handout, just a hand.
Give to the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
A public service of the Ad Council.
The video display terminals that now populate so many of our offices do not damage the vision of the millions of workers who use them. That conclusion from a study by the National Academy of Sciences released today. Nonetheless, the study indicates that if the equipment is of poor quality or if the workplace has been poorly designed, working at a VDT can cause some eye discomfort. Labor organizations and others have contended that continued exposure to radiation from the terminals could lead to blinding eye cataracts. The study termed that a highly improbable eventuality. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.